the world. I'm John Batchelor. To Boca Chica, Texas, with Bob Zimmerman, who keeps the website Behind the Black, SpaceX preparing for the next test of Starship on Super Heavy. Bob, they produce these starships to go on Super Heavy in an assembly line. This is number 25. What is its status? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. When SpaceX conducts its next orbital test launch of Super Heavy Starship, the Super Heavy will be prototype number 9, and the Starship will be prototype number 25. And they've got more in the assembly line, but these are the ones they're going to use. And Musk has said they've made more than 1,000 upgrades. That sounds like a big number, but this is, I think, it's pretty routine from test to test, how many changes they make as they figure out what went wrong and what to fix. And in the process of preparing for that next launch, they did a 6-second static fire test of the 6 engines in the Starship prototype number 25 this week. They put it on a launch pad. This is not the actual orbital launch pad, but it's a test launch pad they use in Boca Chica. And they put it on there, and they did a dress rehearsal fueling and countdown, and they fired the engines, all 6 engines, for 6 seconds, maybe a few seconds, to make sure everything works. And it did. And so they are that's procedure as normal for SpaceX, because they like to do static fire tests before launch. And once they stack Starship, they can't do any more static fire tests. So they wanted to do it before they stack it. They'll probably proceed to, you know, make some more tweaks, and then they'll stack it on Super Heavy, move everything out to the launch pad, and do another static fire test, this time with Super Heavy. And Musk has said that they will be ready to launch in August. He did also indicate one significant change in how they're doing their stage separations, and this is something the Russians do routinely, but American companies very rarely do. When Russian Soyuz rockets, when the first and second stage are going to separate, the Russians light the second stage engine prior to separation, and then the stage separates away. And this is done to save fuel for efficiency, but it is complicated to do that. Obviously, they're still connected, and you fire the engines. Well, SpaceX, American companies usually shut the engines down, separate, and then ignite the second stage engine. SpaceX has said they're designing a Super Heavy Starship to have the upper stage Starship fire its engines before Super Heavy separates. And that's their plan. And we'll see if that works out with the next test launch. Now, they say they'll be ready in August. I am predicting they will not fly in August, and maybe not for several months afterward, because I'm expecting that the FAA is not going to issue a permit in time for an August launch. But SpaceX is smart, and Musk is smart. They're going to keep preparing, and they'll get as close as possible, and they'll be sitting there waiting, and they want to make it clear that the only reason that they're not launching is because of the government acting as a barrier. But that's where we are right now, John. We'll have to wait and see how it plays out.
What is Rocket Lab, and what are they about to try?
Rocket Lab is a small sat rocket company that's been very successful. It's launched, I think, from like 30-plus times with its Electron rocket. Very smart, innovative company. They move very quickly to look for profit centers with their rockets and make them work. They're making a Falcon 9 competitor called Neutron. They hope to launch in a year or so. They've also been trying to improvise a way to reuse the first stages of their Electron rocket. It's a much smaller rocket than Falcon 9, so it can't land vertically practically. They've decided that's not going to work for them. So what they do is they've attached parachutes to it, kind of things the Chinese copy, and to control a parafoil, essentially, to bring the stage down very controlled to a particular point, gently into the ocean. And then they have a specially designed ship ready to pick it up out of the ocean. And they've done this now one or two times. They abandoned the idea of having a helicopter snatch it out of the air before it hits the ocean. They decided after a few times where they picked it up out of the ocean, they tested the engines on the stage, and they found one of the engines, at least one engine, was totally usable again. They tested it as if it was a new engine, and they're going to put it on a rocket and fly it again. So they decided, we don't have to snatch it or use the helicopter. We'll just pull it out of the ocean, redo some refurbish, and fly things again. And so they've got, in their next launch attempt, in just a matter of weeks, they're going to attempt again a complete marine recovery of the first stage. And this is, this in a sense will be the first official full recovery attempt with the intent to complete reuse. And we'll have to see how it plays out. But it's kind of cool that they are moving very forward towards trying to figure out how to reuse their stages, John.
The European Space Agency, the Ariane series of rockets, the final launch of Ariane 5 is now scheduled for July 4th. An unusual date. A French date was available, July 14th. Here's the puzzle, Bob. You present Ariane 5, that's the last launch, waiting for Ariane 6, which is years behind. And the Vega 6 rocket is not ready because it had a launch failure. Bob, the whole operation, they're launching satellites, a German satellite, a French military communication satellite. Why not shut the operation down and give the business to SpaceX? Isn't that cheaper and we'll get it done?
But then again, it would be giving business to an American company, and this is the European Space Agency, where the idea is to not only bring business to European countries, but to be able to operate autonomously, independent of the United States. That's the whole reason they created Ariane Space and the Ariane 5, to try to not only garner commercial business, which they did do successfully, though they never made a profit being a government agency, but to also have an independent way of launching. So that's why they don't automatically just give the business to SpaceX. I will say that several European satellite companies have given the business to SpaceX because they don't have a European option anymore. I will say that. But so the Ariane 5 is scheduled for its last launch. About a month ago, they announced that we're going to be a delay with no launch date set, which really sounded depressing because of problems with the transmission lines to the pyrotechnic explosives that separate the solid rocket boosters from the main stage. They've replaced those transmission lines very quickly, and they're ready to launch July 4th. Once they launch, Europe, though, will have no rocket of its own, large rocket to launch with until the Ariane 6 launches sometime next year. And, of course, it's the first launch of a new rocket, so that schedule is very tentative at this point. I mean, it'll launch, but when it becomes operational, probably not until 25, the way these things normally go, John.
The European Space Agency is a big space operation. NASA's a big space. Roscosmos. They're all living in a business plan that is no longer desirable because there's commercial space available. You hire what you need at that moment, and you pay the fees. So, therefore, the reason I asked about Ariane Space is there's really no rationalization anymore. Private companies in Germany and France and the UK, all over the world, can give business there, not just to the U.S.
You're right, but there's details here that are important. In Europe, there are no rocket companies, private commercial rocket companies, yet capable of launching the size satellites that Ariane 5 and Ariane 6 launched. There's none available. They are, though, in the last 3 months, beginning to issue contracts to the startups, the small sat rocket companies in Europe, the startups, contracts, because they're beginning to say, okay, we got to do what NASA's doing. We got to stop building it ourselves, and we got to depend on private enterprise. But it's going to take years for private companies to show up to replace what Ariane Space, the government agency, was doing all these years, John. And that's the problem that Europe's got. It moved much too – it did not want to recognize the actual transition NASA was making from being the builder to the customer. So back in the 20s, instead of becoming a customer as well, it decided it would just build its a new rocket itself that would replace the Ariane 5 and compete with the private enterprise. And of course, it isn't competing with private enterprise. It's not successful with it.
Salvage operation. North Korea's spy satellite found by South Korea. Where'd they find it?
In the ocean. This is where the rocket crashed. May 31st, North Korea attempted to launch a spy satellite into orbit. It was its first launch in like 7 years. The launch failed. Upper stage didn't do as it was supposed to do. And so the rocket and the spy satellite landed in the ocean. And South Korea immediately sent out salvage operations. They recovered parts of the first stage of the rocket. And they've now announced that they've recovered the spy satellite itself. And, of course, that'll give them a wealth of information about North Korea's capabilities. I do not expect South Korea to tell us much of what it finds for security reasons and also for political reasons. Security reasons, you don't want to reveal much. It's military concerns. But there's also political concerns. If they tell us, I expect this satellite to be not very sophisticated and not very effective. But if they tell us that, then the threat from North Korea won't seem as bad. And for the government, making the threat of North Korea worse is always beneficial politically. This is not to say that North Korea is not a threat, but the government in South Korea is going to want to make it seem worse than it is. So we won't find that much information.
Japan's military, the refurbished and ballooning military, is using my Starlink for communications. So I've got a Japan-approved communication system. I guess that means they're confident it's secure, Bob.
What's going on in Japan is that they signed a contract with SpaceX to do a test program beginning in March of using Starlink to augment their own geosynchronous military communication satellites. And the thinking behind Japan's military is to give themselves some redundancy. It's very difficult to take out SpaceX's Starlink system because there's so many satellites involved. But their geosynchronous satellites that Japan put up, there's only two. And you can easily put them out. And they're worried about China and Russia. And so if they have Starlink as a backup, it gives them more redundancy and security. And with that in mind, they say they're in negotiations with another company that, quote, that provides a similar service that can only be OneWeb. And so I think that before the end of this year, they'll also sign a deal with OneWeb. And that'll give Japan three different ways to obtain military communications. It also means that they'll be set up down the road, not having to launch their own military satellites anymore. They'll just keep buying it from private companies.
The Russians, Roscosmos, you mean, is launching weather satellites. What's significant here, Bob?
Yes, this week they launched a weather satellite, and, you know, this is pretty routine. Russia is, hardly the giant space launch power that it once was. It's the ninth launch of the year. What made this launch interesting is that, in addition to the weather satellites, the Soyuz 2 rocket carried 42 small sats on board as well, secondary payloads. Almost all of them were Russian. And that's important because that indicates Roscosmos might be allowing independent companies or operations to design satellites and launch them. That means Russia might be able to finally begin to have at least pseudo competition in its nation, and that'll encourage competition and innovation. The other thing about it is that one of those satellites was a demo CubeSat from the United Arab Emirates, an outside customer, one of the rare times they have an outside customer. And that's interesting because I think what that satellite was built by UAE engineers themselves. In the past, most of their probes have been built by Americans and used as training vehicles for their engineers. I think in this case, UAE attempted to do its own work, and that's a cool thing. They got their first satellite home built up in the air. And so, once again, Russia might be moving in the direction to have some competition, and if that's the case, we might see finally in a decade or so some life from the Russian space program.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.